All right, guys, welcome back to RX Radio. Jordan and myself were finally in the same proximity.
This is big.
I know.
We're
It's
still out of
big.
the
We're in the
same
same
room,
state
though.
right now.
Yeah, we're not in
We're
the
not in the
same
same
room.
room, but the same state at least.
Soon. Soon we'll be in the same room. I feel like it throws the dynamic off a little bit.
It does. It's hard talking to a microphone instead of talking to a person.
Yeah, it's
It's not the
weird.
same.
Yeah, I know. It's
Yeah.
really strange.
And plus, I've done a lot of brain damage over the past week,
So
so.
dumb to start with. That
I
was,
know, I
dude.
know. I don't
Like,
have much brain
literally, I
cells left.
text you and I was just like, hey, man, we got to do so and so for like RX and Prescript. And it's like, no response. Go online. I'm like, yeah, let's see what's going on in
For
the
days
world of
on end.
Instagram. It's just like this jackass in the woods with like an AR-15. I was like, oh, okay. This is how we handle business in Pennsylvania. All right, that's fine.
Yeah, that's just a casual Sunday.
Jesus Christ. But he's back. He's back in
I'm back.
California. We're
That's
back
right.
full bore. Big news coming down the pipe. Don't want to jinx it yet. We signed the dotted line. We're waiting for the ink to dry on a few things. So hopefully we'll have more information on that next week. If you haven't checked out prescript.com, do that now.
Check it out.
PRESCRIPT.com.
You
Pre-script.
spelled it wrong, dude. You spelled it wrong.
CRIPT, right?
P-R-E dash.
Dash C or SCRIPT. Wow, you know what? This other website's just getting mad hits. And like, what the hell is going on? So that's pre dash
It's a come up.
hyphen. So pre-script.com. Wow, butchered. No time to edit this, so we're gonna roll. Okay, so
Anyways.
today we want to talk about, and I've been getting so many questions about this, low back pain. And I'm almost proud that like two chiropractors that run their own separate Instagram, a podcast, YouTube channels, and we have not even touched on low back pain yet.
Oh man, how do we even get this far without
Because
doing
I
nothing?
think we have a lot more to talk about than other chiropractors. I think the people we deal with make the requisite sacrifices to not have to deal with low back pain as much as like your run and gun, rack and crack chiro. So I'm proud. I mean, I have 50 plus YouTube videos on my channel, and I don't think, A, I don't have a single spine model in any one of them. Oh, the second I see that, what gets me is like the white coat chiro and the
Oh my
spine
God.
model. One worse than that is the khaki New Balance polo tucked in combo. Oh my God.
Oh, the Velcro
Oh
New
yeah,
Balance
that's like,
too.
do they just give you that when you get your CSCS? Are they just like, hey, this is your uniform forever. Have fun wearing khakis, jackass. Oh
Use
man.
words like subluxation all the time.
Yeah. Oh my God. Optimize. Those are the guys that use the word optimize.
Oh man.
Optimal everything.
Anyways, let's talk about what we're going to
Yeah.
talk about today.
Sorry. Dude, I haven't ranted in like since last we talked. All right.
I know
And
this is like therapy for
I got a
you.
whole thing about girls that put dog moms on their Instagram, but I'm not even, I'm gonna save it. I'm gonna save it for another time. But okay, low back pain. I mean, obviously something we deal with a
All right, from
lot.
dog moms to low back pain.
Smooth
Let's go.
transitions is what we're all about. Okay, so low back pain. Now, obviously something that this is we deal with a lot in practice. Now, I guess for me to you, what would be the most common cause of low back pain that you see with the demographic of patients that you treat?
Oh man, the most common cause, I'd say a lot of it is just muscular imbalance. Believe it or not, I don't see too much traumatic injury like SI sprains.
Really?
I don't see too many herniated discs. The more so stuff that I see is just the cumulative being in sacrifice positions over time or having some sort of muscular imbalance within the hip complex causing low back pain.
Now, common imbalance being.
I mean the typical stuff, tight anterior hip structures like hip flexors, psoas, relative glute weakness, and then some sort of involvement from the QL.
Okay.
And a lot of times that can cause things that will lead to like an SI sprain,
Ah,
but
that's.
the majority of what I see isn't traumatic injuries right out of the gate.
Okay. but maybe like repetitive stress exacerbated by lifting.
Absolutely.
Okay. All
Yeah.
right.
Absolutely. Lifting poorly.
Lifting poorly. Now then it becomes
Lifting
chicken and
poorly.
the egg, right? Like, are you lifting poorly because your hips have disbalances, or are you lifting poorly because you have bad cues, and then these bad cues are leading you down a road of setting you up for injury and actually making worse these imbalances that are going to cause you to be in pain. How do
Yeah, and I.
you? Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
No, it's like, how do you? I mean, obviously, people maybe don't want the takeaway of how you treat it in your office, but what could you like provide if you were trapped on a desert island with like a sore low back? You can bring one assessment and like maybe one stretch and one maybe like dynamic movement to do for you. And when you experience these symptoms, what's it going to be? What's your Wilson volleyball that you're bringing with you?
So the first one for me, just assessment wise, I really like a straight leg raise, and it's something I've used on myself. You can do it to yourself to determine if it actually is SI pain or if you're dealing with something that's more lumbar or possibly a little bit more muscular.
Okay, this is a great, I think this is a great self-assessment. Now, I mean, I obviously know what you're talking about. For the less initiated, walk through exactly what you mean when you say straight leg raise, and then how, during what phase of that movement, can you decipher, okay, my pain is coming from X, Y, or Z? Z,
Right.
sorry.
So the straight leg raise, if you're just lying on your back, flat on your back on the ground, and say you're having low back pain on that right side, what you're going to do is you're going to lift that, keep that leg straight, just actively lift that leg, see if you can get it up to 90. If you can get it up there without pain, you're probably in pretty good shape. But if that lifting of the leg is giving you pain in any of those structures at any certain degree, through that range of motion, then it can be pretty indicative of what's going on. If you can't get that leg off the ground without a sharp pain in your low back, you're probably dealing with something that's SI. If you can get it off the ground, then somewhere through that mid-range, you start to feel the pain, most likely more lumbar. And then as you get to the top range, that's going to be, it could be SI also.
Yeah, that's interesting how like the SI joint helps initiate. Then as you come through the mid range, you notice like that mid back starting to flatten out as you approach that 90 degree. Then anything in excess of that is going to be more shear, almost like the opposite of the end range that caused the initial SI pain. Basically, as you know what, I find that's almost like not even an issue because people that end up with these imbalances rarely even flirt with 90 degrees when it comes to
Yeah.
flexion. But for those hypermobile three people that listen to this, I think it's a good thing to note, right? Because I think that's usually where the cookie crumbles for those really like loosey goosey people, because then they think stretch, 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 stretch. And it's like, no. I mean, if it's the mid range that's causing it, it's a lumbar that's affected, then I feel like maybe you have a false perception of what your end range should be. And then it should be, or getting active into that 90 degree laying face up. But if it's exceeds 90 degrees and you're getting it there, it's like, okay, maybe stretching is not the answer. Maybe stability in that end range of motion from a functional standpoint will help alleviate the stability having to come from a structural standpoint, i.e. the SI joint. Okay, so I want to follow up with the other two. So good assessment with the straight leg raise. Now we've let's go down both roads. Let's go down this hypermobile and maybe the, let's call them mobily challenge.
The
What
mobility
the
challenge.
mobility challenge? I don't know how it works. It's probably like not a politically correct thing to say or something. People want to be non-binary in their mobility identity, some shit like that. Okay, so
right.
sorry.
Anyways.
I need this in my life on a regular basis. Like,
I know you
look
do. I'm
forward to
here for you,
tomorrow.
huh, Jordan?
Okay, so let's do a static stretch that you like for the mobility challenge, and maybe a
Okay.
dynamic stability drill for those people who get that end range full flexion SI pain.
Okay. Oh man, I only get to pick one?
Trapped on a desert island, man. Tom Hanks didn't get the pick. You better than Tom Hanks?
The best one, but if I only get one, it's going to be one that hits all three planes of motion of the hip. So I'm going to go with something like a frog pose, like a yoga frog pose, where you're abducting, flexing, and rotating the hip.
I like it.
You like it?
I do. Yeah, no. And I never even thought of that as something that would be all inclusive. But when you said it, I was like, no, I get it. Totally.
Yeah. Ideally, I'd like to hit something on the psoas too, but I think that's one that in my mind is pretty all-inclusive if I only had to pick one. And then for someone with stability, that's pretty easy for me. I'd do something like a single-leg RDL.
God, high five. We're not in the same room, and it's not the same to... Because, great point, because I think with people that have low back pain and... A lot of times it's hard to get into a position of instability when you have low back pain, especially a lot of times they'll have knee pain as well. And I'm glad you didn't go right to the obvious routes of like a lunge or a step up, something that loads deeper hip flexion, more unstable positions, but also way more unstable positions of the knee. So I'm glad you stuck with the single leg RDL because that would have definitely been high on my list too. So great minds think alike, although you may still be drunk regardless. Awesome.
I will neither confirm nor deny.
I think you just conformed, or what we would say, confirmed.
Coming from the guy that can't spell the name of our damn website.
Yeah. We've owned this company for a year. Not good. And I didn't even drink for the past week, so what's my excuse? I'm just dumb to start with. Okay, so I think that's good. I think that's a really good takeaway. The assessment, you know, and if you fall before that 90 degrees, the frog stretch, obviously we're not saying that's going to be your cure-all because I did limit you to one, but I think, and like you said, with the dynamic stability of the single leg RDL, I think that's really good. Takeaways because you can branch and kind of see where you're at. Like listeners can do this and basically like, oh, geez, I didn't realize that. And even if you don't have pain, I would say do this and see where you're at. Like if you can't get up to 90, then maybe work on stretching so you can. If you can surpass 90 and you don't have pain, see how you do on one leg. Because at the end range of that stability, that has to be functional. Because when it becomes structural, then you land yourself in our office and who the hell wants that? So definitely do yourself a favor. Okay, no, I think that's good. Now, I wanted to pick your brain. I wanted to pick your brain about maybe bro therapies of low back pains, something I've discussed like recently with a lot of people. Two major things. Let's go three. I want to enter your realm a little bit.
All right.
So let's start from passive and work dynamic. So from a passive treatment standpoint, let's go, fuck it, I'm going four. So I'll go two and two. Two passive, two dynamic. Body tempering.
So that's like familiar? The steamroller stuff?
It's like the steamroller. And I'm so glad you worded it like that because there's just a steaming pile of shit. That's my opinion on it. But yeah, like what is your position on unexperienced, untrained people rolling large pieces of steel across the spine and spinal cord supporting musculature of unassuming victims on the floor of the gym. What's your take on that? And I'm clearly...
You make it sound so appealing.
Right? Well, I mean, tell me anything in that description was inaccurate of the goings-on in CrossFit and powerlifting gyms when this happens.
You know, to be honest, I haven't looked into this stuff to the point where I'm as irritated by it as you are.
Okay.
But hearing that description, which I have a very vivid image in my mind, I'm going to say you probably shouldn't be doing this.
chime in. I'm going to chime in. Yeah, I agree. Okay, body tempering to me, especially in the lumbar spine, it's like, and this is going to be true with one of the other passive modalities that might be a little bit more in line with the powerlifting world, just because we do load such heavy axial compression, and then the heavier you are, the bigger the lumbar curve you have. Your lumbar spine, the bones of your lumbar spine, by and large, don't like going into further extension. And usually if you have an extended lumbar curve to start, that's the reason your low back is tight. Your hips are unstable. You carry way too much load. You're too fat. It's pulling your lumbar spine forward due to your center of gravity. Now, here's a point I want to make, and this is going to be something we touch on in a future YouTube video. The muscles that you're trying to affect when your low back gets tight are in response to your vertebrae's position relative to one another. So if you have an increased curve, especially in your lower back, so you have this like big arch power lifter belly and you have like a really tight low back, those muscles are reflexively tight due to that excess curve. Because the muscles aren't, don't think of those muscles as extenders, but rather anti-flexors. If you have like relatively neutral curves in your back, those muscles just run up the back of your spine and don't have really leverage at all until the spine starts deviating out of position. That's when they have to react, like sort of as an action of like the autonomic nervous system. Like I can't say, hey, Jordan, flex your multifidus. Can't do it, right? Flex your extensor or your iliocostalis thoracic. You can't do it. You can put yourself in a position where reflexively it will fire, but to try and stimulate some sort of relaxation under, like by a deep pressure stimulus to these muscles that are guarding the position of your spinal cord, it's like it's so misguided in the actual treatment of a cause, and it's purely symptom treating. Like how many times I come off squats at a meet and the super heavies are in the back room and their super heavier friend has like a giant piece of steel and is rolling it on his low back. It's like, dude, you just loaded excessive hip flexion. Your hips are tight and unstable under ridiculous load. And then you got to all of a sudden go into bench press, ridiculously try to arch your lower back that's already arched. It's like, yeah, your low back's going to get into spasm. And that's like, powerlifting, guys miss lifts all the time because of that. And you notice it in the bigger weight classes, in the heavier ranks. And it's like, you'd be better off like applying that on the front of your hip to like try and reduce that shearing force coming forward. But yeah, that to me, especially when it comes to low back pain, I mean, I think the verdict can change with that body tempering stuff. Granted, it's like, it's a tool, right? Like we talked about in the past. It's like, you can give me a hammer and nails and all the tools in the world, but I don't know how to build a house. Like you can give me like a saw and some copper pipe. It's like, you don't want me to do your plumbing. Trust me. It's like, don't give some random guy a giant piece of steel and say, fix my back. It's the same thing. Now, second one, and now we can come at this from like a therapy standpoint and also like the gym bro version. But like distraction, like, whether it be like inversion tables or some people who like self-distract their lower back with like a band and it was sort of like, have you seen this? Have you seen this like inverted?
People hanging themselves upside down.
So weird. I'm sorry. Like
it seems like a great way to fall right on your head.
it seems like you got to pay extra for that in San Francisco. It's like, I feel like that comes with a ball gag and a safety word. Like you should have like some life alert thing just in case like someone leaves you hang.
That's just some standard mobility word.
Yeah. Cops walk in, nothing to see here, just a lot of tight low backs as you were, gentlemen. Like I'm just waiting for just like walk in the gym and someone be like zipping up an executioner's mask. I was like, holy shit. It's just insane. But by that same principle, I mean there's a lot of therapeutic modalities that look to address like disc issues or whatever, and they'll look to distract, like flexion distraction tables. I mean, have you seen these spaceships before? They cost like $100,000. It's ridiculous. Oh, man. But what's your take from a therapeutic standpoint, like in the office versus like the safety word is Oklahoma. All right, let's get you in this sex swing and leave you there for 20 minutes.
Well, I think I mean, in my opinion, distraction is a good place to start as far as a modality to use. I think it can help flared up discs, inflamed discs, things like that. But the less you know about your anatomy, probably the more mild your treatment should be on this, right? If you're just doing it to yourself, you shouldn't be, you know, tying yourself to two different horses and ripping your body in half.
Mush.
Yeah, exactly. It should be, you know, something. I mean, a form of traction for your spine can just be a standing forward fold, right? Exactly. You just bend at the hip, let your arms hang to the ground, and that's spinal traction.
And you know what I love about that? Your feet are on the floor. What a novel idea. Your feet are on the floor. Because, no, go ahead. I want you to finish because I have something to add to this, but I think you're going to lead me right there.
Right. I think that's a great place to start. I don't think you have to go to the extremes. And then if you are, it should be under the supervision of some sort of healthcare professional, not, you know, just your gym buddy and some rubber bands.
Hey, Frank, spot me, bro. I'm going in.
Yeah. Yeah, let me get this leg up on the pull-up bar.
Jesus Christ.
No, but I think it can be a good place to start, but I don't think it's going to address any of the underlying issues, which you kind of, you talked about that with the steamrollers. I mean, people are rolling probably the wrong places, and I think a lot of the idea is that with low back pain, a lot of people just think it's just their back that's causing the pain.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, that might be where you feel the pain. It's probably not the cause a lot of the times, though. So yeah, I think a lot of it can be misguided. It can definitely give you some short-term relief, but no need to hang yourself off those sex swings.
No need to hang.
Touch your toes for a little bit.
Yeah, well, whoa, hey. Think of what you just said. Perhaps not the best advice in some places. Just touch your toes. All right.
See, my brain's not firing as quick as it normally does, which isn't very quick.
We didn't have a buffer zone to play with there. Now, I wanted to add a few things because I like everything you said. One thing, if you are going to go down this route, be very mindful of duration, right? Like, I'm a huge fan of what you said because your limiting range of motion with the standing forward fold is it's physiological. It's not extra physiological, which is what you're calling upon when you just sort of hang upside down from these massive bands. Because the problem, and I'll get back to my point about duration, where it's like, if you're not just stretching your muscles at a certain point, right? So like I talked about, it's like there's functional and structural stability. Cool. The muscle plays a small role, or it plays the role of functional stability. They can reflexively fire, get tight over time because they're always under that threat of that increased curve. But it's like you also have structural stability that's fighting alongside shoulder to shoulder with those muscles to stop that anterior translation of the vertebra. And that's like joint capsules, that's end plates, that's ligaments. And it's like, man, you spend 30 minutes upside down, the transient effect of that muscle relaxation, maybe within the first 5 minutes, tops. Anything past that, and even 5 minutes, is like, that's excessive. Like, you're going to start making plastic changes to inert soft tissue that's going to leave you more unstable than when you started and put more of a demand on those muscles to get tighter and tighter and tighter, right? So this is like an underlying theme through a lot of our personalized pre-script programs, where it's like, you know, some people don't have the requisite mobility to get into unstable positions. That's why we're not afraid to program long static holds, because then if we have that open window created physiologically, then we can get you to unstable positions where you can actually address the root cause, where it's like, we're not just gonna, we haven't even recorded this, nor will we for our pre-scripts, like video lexicon that we draw from. If you get your program and it's inverted sex swing low back distraction, it's like, we don't like you. We want you to go away. But it's like, we will never do that, because it really is like it's a compounding issue, because you can give me a copper pipe and tell me to do plumbing in your house, and I don't know what the hell I'm doing. And it's the same thing when it comes to that, because you're actually doing more damage in the long run if you're having an effect on lengthening those inert soft tissues that are also meant to stabilize in conjunction with the muscles of your lower back. So duration, if you must go down this route, keep it short. But how is a dip How is a pull up? How is a maybe even load that seated or that standing straddle position? Do a stiff leg deadlift from a hinge, from a pure hip hinge. That's distracting your lower back, but you're using functional stability to keep it within the physiological norms that your body can handle. So for me, it's like those two passive modalities really irk me. Now, kettlebell swings, I'm going to lump it together for time's sake. Kettlebell swings and the reverse hyper.
Okay, is that a question?
Oh yeah, kettlebell swings and the reverse hyper question mark. Yeah, now how do you feel like as far as rehabilitation, right? Like I feel like the kettlebell swing is to CrossFit low back pain what perhaps the reverse hyper is to powerlifting low back pain as a rehab or preventative measure.
I kind of like that comparison.
Not bad, eh?
And I feel in a very similar way. I think a kettlebell swing can be so right now I'm not talking like a CrossFit kettlebell swing. I'm talking like eye level, like a Russian kettlebell swing.
Yeah, just, okay.
I think it can be a very good way to get people to start loading after an injury, or to do it in a very low impact way, or if there's any range of motion limitations. I think it can be very effective just in terms of core bracing and force transfer.
Okay. So that's broad spectrum answer for kettlebell swing and the reverse hyper. Dose it appropriately, progress it appropriately, and not too bad.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's going to be a little different depending on what the injury is or what that person has going on. If they have like a SI sprain they're coming back from, it's going to be a much slower process than if it were just, a tight psoas causing some lumbar pain.
Sure. I'm going to play devil's advocate.
All right.
I'm going to, because both of these, the powerlifting crowd that swears by the reverse hyper, it's like, I'm going to double back to the forward fold where it's like your feet aren't on the ground, which at least with the kettlebell swing are, right?
Okay.
So that pendulum in that flex position, they preach that it causes the distraction, and I like it because it's limited to time, but when you start loading that heavy, you're not, it's hard to manage and limit the force in which that carries through your spine in flexion, right? So it's like you kick up and you got like 7 plates aside that are hurtling your legs back into excessive flexion. It's like, it's corrective exercise is like dosing medication, right? Intervention and dose, that's what we have to find. So it could be the right intervention. We have to dose it appropriately because the side effects of overdosing on a reverse hyper, because it does allow you to perpetuate momentum in a way different than your body would allow you with 2 feet on the ground, it can get like pretty binary. Like this is either really good or really bad. So I would definitely say with the reverse hyper, because it is so dogmatic in powerlifting, it's like approach that with caution, because the ramifications of, putting your spine in excessive flexion, it's like, watch it. You could have done your last barbell squat for a while. So I think in some ways it's pretty good, but I prefer the kettlebell swing from a rehab standpoint because of that self-limiting nature and load. It's like, I know a lot of people that can put a plate on either side of the reverse hyper and go through a 90-pound reverse hyper, no problem. But you put a 90-pound kettlebell in their hand and it's a different story, right? So I like that self-limiting nature of the kettlebell swing as opposed to the reverse hyper, but it's that same thing. That at that peak velocity, as the kettlebell now is hurtling its way back between your legs, that's the pivotal point where your hips are flexed and your SI is shearing, right? So it's like controlling all the stimulus, the weight, the speed, the control, the eccentric, the concentric, I think is huge. Like, is that momentum? Like, let's double that back to your initial assessment where it was like, okay, this straight leg raise, right? Relative hip position, like where your foot is relative to your body, you're lying face up and then it starts to hurt like the halfway point or further. invert yourself so you're now on your feet, and then look at your relative torso position to your hip. It's like, that's where you're going to get injured, is in that bottom position. So controlling that momentum is huge out of the gate. I think some people think some is good, more is better. Let's swing for the fences, and they swing their way right back into the office because someone told them it was going to be good for their lower back, and they just didn't think of these variables out of the gate to control. So, but I think of the two, the kettlebell swing, I don't know if more preferential is the way to word it, but I do like the dynamic transfer of like having your feet on the ground.
Yeah. I think you made a really good point there, is that when we're doing these exercises for stability or for rehabilitation purposes, they need to be very controlled. They need to be, every aspect has to be dialed in, and we can't be, you know, flexing the spine as we're doing these things. We need to stabilize the spine, control the movement at every single joint, and think about the end goal as opposed to just thinking about getting a kettlebell from point A to point B.
Totally agree. And I was only laughing at you because you pronounced the word rehabilitation like a five-year-old attempting to say it for the first time. It's like you syllable by syllable, like rehabilitation. Okay.
I've had a coffee all day. I'm not even in the same room with you.
Yeah,
my brain's working a little bit slow today.
It's not bad. You did good. You did better than I thought. So I think
I hit all the syllables.
It was good. Yeah, you didn't miss one, which, you know, and you'd been, you know, bachelor party and wedding for the past couple of weeks. So you'll get a pass. Now moving forward, you don't have that leeway. But I think that was good. I think that was really good. We had the assessment, some implementation, and some maybe debunking of some common practices when it comes to managing low back pain, or at least, you know, give people some warnings to heed when looking to rehab or prevent low back pain. Because I think, you know, give a man a fish or teach a man a fish, right? Like your gym bro that's just like, here, bro, I got the exhaust fell off my car, let me roll it on your back before this next squat. You approach with caution. Yeah,
probably,
right?
Stay away from that guy.
Stay.
Guaranteed he has a sex swing.
That's what's coming out next, right? Your next thing you know, you're like hanging upside down with like a Slipknot mask. Anyways, we're getting too real there.
Yeah, before it gets too weird.
Yeah, I think that's a good place.
Let's give a shout out.
Yeah, go for it.
Engine Fitness. Use code RXDRadio for 15% off.
Lunderjack.
Tyler Lundy, yeah. Lunderjack Productions.
You know what? He might not get his hands on this one. So we're really... Okay, Lundy is like the Asian parent of producers. And anyone who is Asian that listens to this knows exactly what we're talking about. It's like when you think an A was good, he's just like, you should have got an A+. Like we're really trying on increasing the production value here. And every time I send him something and it's like, I think like... he's going to be so proud. No, he's like, this is terrible. Do it again. Go back to your room. So it's like, Lundy might not even get his hands on this one. So we do apologize. So if it doesn't sound great, it's our fault. When it sounds audible, it's all him. So check him out at lunderjackproductions.com. I'm going to let you close off with Prescript because I don't think I'm deserving because I didn't even spell it right out of the gate.
Oh, yeah, that's embarrassing. Anyways, check us out, guys.
Prescript.com.
Personalized programs. We have some pretty good preset programs out there. Take a look. Email us at info@prescript.com. If you have any questions, leave us comments, 5-star reviews, ratings.
Yes. Ratings. Yeah, guys. I think we're at like 26. Let's bump it to 30. Share with your friends. Because that's, there's right, only so many more packages of ramen noodles I can afford before, you know, we're going to be doing this through actual tin cans.
Yeah.
All right, man. So that's it for today. Until next time, guys.
All right. Thanks for listening, guys.